In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and never shall be.
We here at St. Anthony's Greek Orthodox Church, we're very lucky, actually, and I know this especially during our annual Greek festival, because people walk into our church tours, and they're immediately struck with how beautiful our church is. We are very fortunate with having a beautiful, beautiful house of worship here, with beautiful icons by the beloved iconographer, George Filipaikis. And we are just, it truly is tremendous, especially those of us who go to other churches. There are many beautiful churches in the Southern California area. Maybe I'm biased because I'm here, but really it is a beautiful sanctuary here, a beautiful house of worship for us. And especially for those who come to our church tours who are not from the Orthodox faith, they are rather struck by this beauty and kind of shocked by how many icons we have, and especially if it's their first time ever coming into an Orthodox church. Because for a lot of Christianity, especially mainline Christianity, American-style Christianity, we can say Western, icons are not something that are commonplace for them, as it is for us here in the Orthodox Church. And that is, of course, what we remember today, the Sunday of Orthodoxy. We can also call it the Triumph of Orthodoxy, in which we remember the events and the decisions that were held at the seventh ecumenical councils. Maybe you've heard of these councils. Maybe you've heard our church being called the Church of the Seven Councils. Each one of these councils from the 4th century up through the 8th century were centered around and focused on finding out and solidifying our church's teachings on who the person of Jesus Christ is. Everything, all the dogmas and doctrines of our church that have been decided through these councils were focused on who the God-man Jesus Christ is. So we can ask this question, well, what does the seventh council have to do with it if that was the council in which we just brought our icons back? If you know a little bit about the history of our church, this is the time during the early 8th century, even before that, that there was this controversy of iconoclasms, meaning directly translated, meaning a destroyer of icons, or an enemy of icons, per se. Maybe saying that these icons are idol worship, that these icons are graven images, and we're breaking the commandments of the Old Testament by having such graven images. And these people were trying to tear down the icons and destroy them. And then even when things were a little bit alleviated, even some people in the church were saying, okay, maybe you can have icons, but put them way high up so that no one can touch them or kiss them or access them. Well, this council convened together to talk about this issue of the holy icons in our church. Because, as I said before, everything in these councils talked about was around the person of Jesus Christ. And our church teaches something very foundational. The foundational teaching of our church is that God became a human being, that we are so desperately loved by God Himself that He condescended so far to take on flesh, to take on our sufferings, to take on our life, to take on our death even, so that we are now victors over death through Christ. And so, because God has become incarnate, as we read in the Gospel today, to come and see. Come and see. We can now see God. We are not commanded as Moses was before to turn away, because if you see me, you will surely die. But we can see God. God in the incarnation has taken on flesh, tangible human flesh. He's walked this earth that we have walked. He's breathed this air. He's touched the waters. He's healed people. And he's present with us at every divine liturgy in the Eucharist as well. So if we can see God, then we can see God. And every icon is an icon of God Himself. We, after all, were created in His image and likness. So that is why the council, the seventh council, decided that icons are, in fact, a teaching of the incarnation. They show us that God is visible. The invisible has become visible. The intangible, the incomprehensible has become tangible and can be seen by us through the person of Jesus Christ. So that is why we have our beautiful icons throughout our church. But at this point, we're going to be welcoming in our church school students. And you may have heard us say this before that, you know, I always ask the kids, what do you think is the most beautiful icon in our entire church? What's the most beautiful icon? And they start pointing around. They like the dome, or they like the icons on the icon screen, or they like the platitera of the Theotokos above the altar. I said, no, you are the most beautiful icon in this entire church. You are, each and every one of us. That is why the priest senses around. He senses the icons on the altar screen. He senses the icons in the church. But he senses each and every one of us, because we are made as icons, images and likeness of God himself. So at this point, we will rise as our church school students enter in, and we celebrate this beautiful triumph of Orthodoxy on the first Sunday of Great Lent.